had promised that one of his main goals in his campaign would be to revert everything that was happening during Bolsonaro government. He has selected someone who is internationally famous for their for her contributions to at least the academy in terms of environmental protection, Marina Silva, and still we saw nothing changed. There's been, as I said, an increase in the burning of the forest despite the governmental organizations being saying that there is less deforestation. Also, one conditionization, and now I'm coming back for a little bit on the indigenous situation. There's been this law called Marco Temporal. Basically, they decided, or at least the parliament tried to pass a law, that the amendment to the constitution that said at every land occupied by indigenous territories when the current constitution was released would be considered as protected. But if they were not situated / occupying those lands in the time that the constitution was released, they would not have be entitled to those lands anymore. I think this is an interesting topic because it goes a lot with what, there's a contrast with Canada, at least, that you can clearly see in terms of, land protection and demarcation. And so, coming back a little bit, the proposal, it was largely supported by agribusiness, mining interests, had sparked widespread protests, intensified in debates on indigenous rights, so there was a lot of disruption. So while there's been promise regarding change, Lula's government, for example, they were benefic and they didn't went completely against the Marco Temporal because there is a severe need of his government contributing, working with the parliament so that they maintain power. So this power dynamics in Brazil is particularly strong. When you look at the parliament, there is this constant necessity of working closely and putting people on ministers and selecting people of what we call the center government, because if you want to rule or do anything, you need them to approve. And in this case, I think the discussion goes a little bit on how Lula's government does not keep their promises, but they are also just playing a power role in keeping in change. I mean, I'm not speaking here completely against or in favor of the Marco Temporal, but what I'm saying is that his government has no interest in actually going with what they agree with, which is and the indigenous environmental protection. They are not playing this role. So basically, I think it's interesting when we compare this treatment of indigenous community in Brazil and Canada. There are notable differences, but also a lot of striking similarities. Both countries, they have colonial histories, so this led to marginalization of indigenous people. So we have the example of the Satarema way that's facing currently ongoing threats from illegal land grabs, or lack of governmental protection of the territories, the Marco Temporal. It would be better translated as the timing law, because it's regarding the time that it was promoted in the constitution. So they have similar marginalization. They are not protected. And I think this comparison shows off a lot of layers of history politics that we can discuss here a little bit about. If Marco Temporal, the timing law, was passed, there would be severely implicated conditions for indigenous claims of lands. So if they, for example, had been retrieved, or I don't know, for some instance, the indigenous were not occupying those territories because there was ongoing dispute with agricultural farmers trying to expand, they would not have this right. So this proposal directly threatens many indigenous communities, as I've been saying. And in Canada, the situation has both similar and distinct that we can compare. One hand, we have like greater legal recognition of indigenous lands. So it was a great surprise for me when I learned about territorial acknowledgement. I recognize here there is also ongoing discussion on how impactful that is, but it's already a distinguished for us that barely hear about any indigenous rights in Brazil. So we've seen here like lands disputes similar to Dengalgu. Sorry if I don't speak that correctly, versus British Columbia in 97, which like have put in like the validity of indigenous title to the entitlement to those lands in dispute. We have seen that happening during the TMX pipeline expansion in Burnaby, and I think all of those are parallels that show ongoing tension between economic development, allegedly economic development, at least for some, and environmental preservation in both countries. So in Brazil, like business and mining sector, they have enormous influence over politics, and this destruction is still an ongoing debate on where we're heading. How is Brazil going to play the role of taking carbon credits for countries like Canada who want to expand their carbon release, or at least what's been said for NDP, for the conservative government, if elected. And although just coming back, if Lula government promised those significant changes, we haven't seen those happening for the environment as well. So there is great frustration. I have here like the data is like about 60% of this reduced deforestation this year, but it has actually accelerating in another biome, which we call Cerrado. It's similar to like a Brazilian savanna. So finalizing on those topics and my comments about, there's great complexity, there is great internal contradictions that has been disputed, more specifically with Marina Silva, Ministry of the Environment, that I have mentioned as internationally famous before. And I think these are some just thought-provoking discussion that I wanted to bring here. A little bit on the comparison between indigenous rights in Brazil and Canada, talking about the environment, the future, maybe spotlight with discussions that are going to be happening for a conference of parts and post-BC elections. So what I have here next is just some propaganda, so I'll be back with you in a few.
Stats can be hard to understand, but this one isn't. Nearly 1 in 4 people can't afford food in Canada. What does food insecurity look like where you live? Look up your address at foodsecuritynow.ca. That's foodsecuritynow.ca. Join Community Food Centers Canada in making a difference today.
Tune in to Intravenous on Wednesdays from 10 to 11 a.m. for music and talk radio about all things, all genders. Discussing and approaching contemporary gender issues through an intersectional feminist lens, our goal is to educate, engage, and challenge the dominant hegemony. Intravenous, every Wednesday morning from 10 to 11, only on CJSF 90.1 FM. Diverse, independent, yours.
So, thank you so much for staying tuned to CJSF 90.1 FM. I'm here back, and now what I'm gonna play is gonna be the song Mapinguari. I'm gonna be continuing, this is gonna be the last related Brazilian song of today. And my goal is again to bring you a little bit of this piece if you're already commuting back home, or if you're just tuned in while in the meanwhile waiting for your class to start. Bring a little bit of this different instrumental, a little bit of the Amazon feeling for you, for your place, for your car today. So stay tuned in. This is the song Mapinguari by Amaro Freitas and his new album Eye Eye. Thank you so much for staying here with me. I hope you enjoyed the song. It was a little bit shorter than the others one, but I think it was a great ending for your Brazilian indigenous and environmental protection conversation. I'm still going to be playing here some indigenous songs for you. I've been recently discovering them. I hope you really enjoy them with me. So the next is a special track from the indigenous Canadian singer-songwriter Celeste Cardinal from her 2024 album Boundless Possibilities. Cardinal has had an incredible career. She has won awards such as the Indigenous Music Album of the Year at the Juno Awards and the Indigenous Artist of the Year at the Western Canadian Music Awards, Boundless Possibilities. This new album, Boundless Possibilities, takes her upstream to new heights. She combines some cool elements of folk blues, creating a sound that is familiar and also a little bit, I would call, fresh. So I think it's a great description. So here is Don't Waste Your Love on Me by Celeste Cardinal, a track that encapsulates her honesty and vulnerability. So enjoy.
anybody's mess but my own. I don't want to explain myself for being on my phone. And when I fall in love, it won't change what I believe. I don't need anyone to complete me. You can give your love and still be free. In another lifetime, it could have been meant to be. Don't care about superstition or astrology. In another lifetime, it could have been meant to be. Don't tell me you'll wait. Don't waste your love on me.
Hello back. I hope you enjoy the song Don't Waste Your Love on Me by Celine Cardinal. I have actually another song for you from the same artist, another beautiful track. The name is Light of the Moon. Same album, Boundless Possibilities. I think this song carries a little bit more of her signature blend of folk, blues, and pop influences with her strong voice. I don't know if you realize, but I really enjoy that. Puts a lot on her spirit of songwriting, deal with love, introspection, and find strength with vulnerability. So I think it's a great song for us to play here today. So continuing with Light of the Moon.
Going. No matter how bad I wanted you to stay, only half of your heart was ever far away. Songs pouring out from the kitchen, your laughter ringing, guitars in the hallway, right. When the sun goes down, there's still the light of the moon, and I will remember you. Well, I remember you in the bright lights, singing songs into the late night, but we all start to fade, the best of us. When the sun goes down, there's still the light of the moon, and I will remember you. If you lived 1,000 years, you'd still be gone too soon, and I will remember you. Where there was none, rest easy now, your work is done. The ones that will follow, they bring you with them. We can hear your voice if we just listen. When the sun goes down, there's still the light of the moon, and I will remember. Lived 1,000 years, you'd still be gone too soon, and I will remember you. Oh, when the sun goes down, there's still the light of the moon, and I will remember.
And you have just listened to Light of the Moon by Silly Cardinal. So I hope you enjoyed, because I definitely did. It was definitely a great track, bringing some sentiments here out there for us today. So if you're in love, I hope you enjoyed it as well. So let's continue. I have one next song here from an artist named Sahara von Hattenberg. She's a really talented professional. I have actually done some research to speak about her just because I enjoyed this next song so much. Sahara, she has graduated from the Scottish School of Music at McGill University, so the music background is out there for whoever is wondering. There's some history here for her to tell on her passion for music. So finishing her studies, she signed with a Tokyo-based music agency that spent a year in Japan. She has toured the country as a soloist, and now her work emphasizes cross-cultural exchange, especially through her ensemble duo Quagrish, I don't know how to say that, which promotes the connection between Japanese and Canadian music traditions. Recently she received a grant from the Canada Council for the Arts to commission works reflecting the Japanese culture, and a project that she showcased through an hour-long film performance, which I recommend a lot if you are out there looking for a new performance to watch. Sahara, she is also a member of the Chamber Orchestra of New York, and she's set to release. She's released her new album now, 2024. So here is the rendition of the song Running Uphill. Enjoy the unique depth and the artistry that she brings to this performance. Thank you. Welcome back one more time. It was such a pleasure to have you here with me today. So what you have just listened to is Savara von Hattenberg running up that hill. Really, really interesting song. I vibed the entire way through. I hope you did it with me over there. And thank you so much for being here again with me today. So next show on air that you can stay tuned in for is Conversations from SFU Faculty of Communications, Art and Technology. It's going to be playing from 4 to 4:30. And I also would like to appreciate your time tuned in with me. We had some really interesting conversation about indigenous, both in Brazil, also in Canada, about the future of climate discussions in the international spectrum. That's completely connected to how the Amazon's being preserved, a little bit on that mixed with some traditional instruments on the Amazon forest. So I'm not afraid to say a great job there. So what I can tell you now is that you can find me at 3 next week again for an open mic. What I'm looking forward to do is to always have these talks connected with someone trying to talk a little bit of the international discussions that are ongoing and mixing it with some interesting backgrounds, people that would not have the chance to be listened and that can share their struggles and their backgrounds to teach us something. So again, me and you next week, and next is Conversations from SFU Faculty of Communications, Art and Technology. Thank you so much for staying here.
This is Bird Note. Although we may think of autumn as a sort of winding down period, for birds, it's as much a season of renewal as the spring. In October and November, we embrace the annual arrival of our winter birds, which spent their summer in...